Brian Lehrer on WNYC. So the education headline you're probably all hearing today in the New York area is the extreme racial disparities in this year's admissions to New York City's so-called specialized high schools, Stuyvesant, Bronx Science, Brooklyn Tech, and four others. By almost any logic, the single test admission process is failing to identify lots of Black and Latino kids who could also thrive at those schools as much as those who are getting in. But here's another story about a yawning education gap that actually affects many more kids, those who could achieve at elite academic levels, and everyone else. The Wall Street Journal compared two school districts that sit close to each other on Long Island, but sit far apart in resources. One is Westbury at exit 39 on the Long Island Expressway. The other is Jericho, exits 40 and 41. Westbury schools spend about $24,000 a year per student in the latest state data. Jericho spent more than $37,000 compared to $37,000 per pupil per year. And disparities like this can be found all over the state, all over the country. The state legislature, in New York's case, could close that raging disparity in the annual budget that's due in 2 weeks, or they could yawn at that yawning gap and decide not to. Let's see what we can learn by comparing Westbury and Jericho with Leslie Brody, Wall Street Journal, Greater New York education reporter. Leslie, thanks for coming in.
Thanks so much for having me, Brian.
So your article starts with a comparison of opportunities for a particular student named Sabrina Benayoun, a senior at Jericho High School, and Joshua Taylor, a senior at Westbury, on electives, on field trips, on AP classes, on college application counselors. Want to start by telling us about the two kids and some of those comparative offerings so we're not just talking numbers?
Sure. Thanks so much. So Sabrina, she's a senior at Jericho High School. She had her pick of about 30 AP classes, more than 50 extracurricular clubs, field trips to Quebec and Paris. Some of her friends even had field trips to China. And she was very grateful for those opportunities. Down the parkway a few miles, as you said, Joshua Taylor, who's a senior in Westbury, he had a guidance counselor who was juggling more than 300 other students. He had made his way through overcrowded buildings. He'd had large classes. He said he had one English class with 35 students in it. And field trips had to stick within a five-mile radius, so no China or Paris.
Not quite. What are the demographics of the Jericho versus Westbury school populations, race and income and whatever else is relevant?
Thanks. Well, Jericho is about 3,000 students, and they're mostly white and Asian and wealthy. Westbury is a more of a mixed income town, but the schools themselves serve a much poorer population because many of the families in Westbury send their kids to private school and Catholic school. 87% qualify for free and reduced lunch. And what's very taxing or a challenge for the district is about a third of them are English language learners who need a lot more services. So the Westbury schools, they have an evening classes for students who need to work during the day. They had, at the middle school, they have classes in the principal's office, in the hallway, in the basement. You know, they just passed a bond issue, so that should ease overcrowding a bit, but they've got a long way to go in terms of serving everybody.
Unlike in New York City, where education funding comes out of the general fund, school funding in the suburbs is largely determined by property taxes. Can you explain how that works?
Sure, thanks. Well, a place like Jericho that has lots of wealthy residents who want to invest in the schools, they can cover nearly all their school budget with local property taxes. They hardly get any state aid. But a place like Westbury is more mixed, they need a lot of state aid. And about almost half of their budget is reliant on state aid. Now, state aid is a complicated formula that is designed to send more money to districts with high percentages of poor students and disabled students and English language learners, but it hasn't been fully funded since its creation in 2007. So places like Westbury says it's owed $34 million in state aid. And there are many districts that feel that they don't get what they should.
So just to back up one step, the property tax results because of obviously, you know, I mean, if we're talking about, and this is a national issue, this is a big systemic national issue, again, except for places like New York City where the education budget comes out of the general fund. If schools are largely funded in this country by property taxes, well, those are based on the value of people's homes. So almost by definition, school funding is designed to be unequal. So to what degree are they having the same conversation all over the country?
All over the country. And there's litigation that's gone on for decades about this in New Jersey, in Connecticut, in New York. It's a very difficult issue. You know, people want their own, or some people want their own property taxes to pay for their own schools and their own kids. You know, others feel like there should be, a broader contribution from the statewide pie.
Yeah. Maybe we need a constitutional amendment.
Good luck with that.
we don't determine somebody's eligibility for particular Medicare benefits based on where they live. So why should we determine people's eligibility for certain school resources based on where they live, therefore based on the value of the higher end or the lower end homes? I don't expect you to answer that question, but that's the question. So getting back to the state, the gap would be even bigger than it is between places like Westbury and Jericho if it weren't for funding by the state. So can you get back into that and cite some of the numbers on that?
Statewide?
Or however you want to, or it doesn't even have to be numbers, just state what the state does to even out some of those disparities.
Okay, well, the state spends $27 billion right now for the year for state school aid, and much of that goes to try to even out the differences. But the formula is controversial. Some people think it's inaccurate and flawed, and some advocates for public education think it doesn't do enough for the poor districts. Others say that it's a bad math and that all the districts could actually, almost all the districts could manage to provide a sound basic education on their own if they were a little more efficient. One tax watchdog says that we don't need billions more in statewide school aid. $164 million targeted for the 32 poorest districts would do the trick. But the State Board of Regents, which sets education policy, they want $4 billion more for state aid. Governor Cuomo has said, how about $1 billion? The Democratic leaders of the Senate and Assembly have said, how about $1.6 billion? The teachers' unions want $2 billion.
But why is this even a matter of political debate and negotiation if, as you said before, a court ordered the state to spend money more than 10 years ago to create more fiscal equity from district to district?
Because education politics is full of people fighting, and the governor says that court obligation is no longer binding, it's obsolete, and education advocates who fought in that case said, no, the court said we need to do this, and we need to do this. So people are even fighting about whether the court mandate still applies.
So let me play a clip of the governor who apparently believes that disparities in education funding from district to district, from student to student, don't actually matter.
The assumption we had was if we fund the poorer school districts, they would turn around and fund the poorer schools in their districts. That was our assumption. It was a bad assumption.
Governor Cuomo in his State of the State address this year. So he seems to be alleging that school districts are taking this additional aid meant to even out some of these disparities and spending it on something else other than the poorer schools in the district.
You know, he hasn't really repeated that statement that much lately. I wonder if he's backed away from that contention a bit. And it really is more of a district-to-district issue. I mean, you have you know, Utica spending $16,000 per student and Amagansett spending $53,000 per student. I mean, some of those disparities are because of local cost of living and you know, the size of the district and, you know, community wealth. But we have these wide gaps, and it's hard to wrap your head around.
Listeners, we can take a few phone calls for Leslie Brody, Wall Street Journal, Greater New York education reporter, who did a comparison of funding per student and some of what that funding buys in the nearby towns of Jericho and Westbury on Long Island, and just how disparate it can be from practically door to door in one community, in this case, if we consider Nassau County a community. 212-433-WNYC. If anyone happens to be listening right now from Westbury or Jericho, you'll get first priority. Are you aware of how different the opportunities are at the school district just down Jericho Turnpike, just down the LIE, just down the Northern State? 212-433-9692. Anyone else, a parent or an educator or a local official or an activist from a school district outside New York City where property taxes determine a lot about funding for your child, who wants to tell us a story, ask a question, or make a statement about this? 212-433-WNYC, 433-9692. And let's take a phone call. Here's Katrin in Piscataway. You're on WNYC. Did I say your name right?
Hi, yes. Thanks for taking my call.
Sure.
You know, I was sort of pondering the question because I am a teacher, and why, you know, since we have all these like wonderful counties in New Jersey, why they wouldn't pool property taxes like from county to county and distribute it more equally. And the other question is just maybe to have a tax break for, you know, property taxes, sort of a break, and to have more of a, to have other things in consideration when considering somebody's, and, you know, property taxes, like, for example, their income bracket.
I can take on the part about consolidating across counties. I mean, both New York and New Jersey have about 600 or 700 districts, which is very, for schools, which is very inefficient, because that means 600 or 700 superintendents and directors of curriculum and busing contracts and all that kind of thing. Mm-hmm. Some taxpayers want to consolidate districts to save money, but that's very hard to do because there are always, one district always thinks it's better and doesn't want to merge with the neighboring district, or again, people want their own money to go to their own kids. But you get situations where, for example, in Jericho, the superintendent makes over $400,000 a year, and there are lots of superintendents who make a lot of money and have, you know, lots of expensive contracts. So it's a good idea to some people to merge districts, but it's very politically difficult to do. And I don't think I can answer your other question.
Katrin, thank you very much. Jill in Levittown, you're on WNYC. Hi, Jill.
Yes, good morning, Brian. Brian, I used to be a substitute for many years at in the Westbury schools, and mm-hmm. I spent most of my time at Westbury High School. Josh Taylor, I think, was in middle school when I was there, and I remember him as being a very smart boy. But I have to say, I'm confused about one thing, and that is the surrounding area of Westbury High School is filled with extremely wealthy people. I mean, mansions, extremely wealthy people. Maybe not quite as wealthy as Jericho, but certainly close to it. So I don't understand why there's such a gap in funding from state tax, from property taxes. Aren't those property taxes enough to, you know, close up the gap between state aid and property taxes?
I think part of the issue is that there's a property tax cap, and you could only raise property taxes for school levies a certain amount per year, under 2% per year. So sometimes when neighborhoods change, you can't raise the revenues as fast as the neighborhood changes. My understanding is with Westbury, there is a very wealthy section. There's also a very poor section.
Yes, there is.
And mm-hmm. most of the kids in the district come from the very poor section. So part
yes,
of the issue could
true.
Be that some of the taxpayers don't really want to support their own district schools because they don't use them.
They can't choose their district school. They can't choose, can they? Don't they have to pay if they're within a certain radius of the school? Don't they have to contribute those school taxes?
If they're in the school district. But I think what you're suggesting, Jill,
around the school.
Right, but I think what you're suggesting is that there's the potential for the same number of funding based on the property values in Westbury as there is in Jericho, and I think that might not be the case. I think Jericho might just be more uniformly upscale, and that's what produces the disparity in property tax receipts that go to schools.
Yes, okay. I know walking through the neighborhood, people have asked me about this quality of teaching there because they are concerned that their property taxes were paying for this school that has such a bad reputation. I do have to say, from my own experience, I feel the students there are given many, many opportunities. I think they have quite a few electives. I know that they have trips that are in Europe occasionally. I don't know if it's done every year, but I think they take very good care of the students there. I think the level of teaching is really very good. But I know that there is an overcrowding problem, and there is a problem with the immigrant community there. There's just such an influx of immigrants pouring into the schools. And so some of the ESL classes are up to almost 40. You know, it's just really, it's amazing to me how many students can be pushed into one classroom.
So there's part of the challenge, right?
If the immigrant
I would frame it differently, though, that if the mandate of public education is to provide equal education resources to every student, today there's a lot of people moving into Westbury. Tomorrow there might be a lot of people moving into somewhere else or moving out of somewhere else. And the funding should be able to adjust to follow the number of students rather than to kind of be fixed and say, oh, the problem is too many immigrants. Right?
Yeah. Yes, true. Oh, well, thank you for explaining property tax situation.
Thank you very much. Let's go to another island question. Danielle in East Meadow, you're on WNYC. Hi, Danielle.
Hi, how's it going?
Good, thank you.
Actually, in the same line as the last listener, I know that a lot of those families, you know, those large houses surrounding Westbury High School end up sending their students to private school. How does that affect the amount of funding or the level of quality of education in the Westbury community?
The number of kids in Westbury who go to private school, you did raise that as a factor in Westbury.
Well, I think that that just means that, you know, when the superintendent puts together a budget and he needs to get the community to approve it, if many people send their kids to private schools, he knows they will be less likely to pass the budget. So he has to keep the budget super flat.
Because in the case of school property taxes, voters, and again, people in New York City may not realize this because this doesn't take place in New York City, but voters actually vote on referenda, in effect, on what your school property taxes are going to be every year, right?
Right. And I think that one thing that the superintendent also said is what frustrates him is that he can't give all of the academic intervention services that he wants to give. And that may not show up when you're taking a tour of a school building or if he feels that there are kids who are behind in reading and he can't give them enough tutoring, that's a huge frustration for him.
This is about race. It's about money, and it's about the number of people with money who live in each district to, you know, contribute how much to the property taxes that fund the school. So it's structural in that respect. But it's one of the many racial disparities in our country because we know who the kids are in these districts. Is there a straight line that you can identify as a Wall Street Journal education reporter from white people's perceptions of the deservingness or not of black kids and how much white voters hold black families responsible for the outcomes of the kids rather than structural disparities that comes into play here?
I'm not sure I could answer that. That's a hugely complicated question. I think part of it is when you have, a money community pays for its schools, poor community has a harder time doing it. There's an overlap between poor communities and communities of color. And that's a huge part of the issue.
This is WNYC FM HD and AM New York, WNJT FM 88.1 Trenton, WNJP 88.5 Sussex, WNJY 89.3 Netcong, and WNJO 90.3 Toms River. We are New York and New Jersey Public Radio with a few minutes left with Leslie Brody, Wall Street Journal Greater New York Education Reporter, who has the article a few days ago now comparing the nearby Westbury and Jericho school districts on Long Island and the yawning disparities in funding per child in those two school districts and the debate that's going on right now in the New York State Legislature as to how much they're willing to pay to even out those kinds of disparities between Jericho and Westbury and statewide. And Leslie, before you go, I see you also did report today on the New York City Specialized High School admissions numbers that just came out for next fall, headline story this morning. And even with all the debate around the single test admission process for Bronx Sci and Stuyvesant and Brooklyn Tech and the four other specialized schools, the racial disparities actually got worse this year?
Well, it's such a difficult problem. Only 7 black students got into Stuyvesant, for example, and 33 Latino students out of almost 900 who got offers. The mayor wants to get rid of the specialized high school admissions test because he thinks it's not fair and you shouldn't judge a student by a single test, and that a different method that he's proposed of taking the top performers from every middle school in the city would be much more reflective of the city's talent. But the legislature has shown very little interest in taking up that hot potato, so this issue is continuing, and we'll just see what's going to happen. He has some other ideas for giving more spaces to kids who just missed the cutoff and hoping to diversify the specialized high schools that way, and we'll find out soon whether the next year's cohort actually is a bit more integrated.
Did the schools get less white as well as less black and Latino and simply more Asian? Do we know?
Well, it looks like it's going to be about the same. 51% of the offers went to Asian students, the same as last year. About 10 or 11% of the offers went to black and Latino students, and 28% of the offers went to white students, which is just a bit more than last year.
We know the mayor is proposing that the state abolish the single test system and go to a multi-factor admissions process, kind of like the Ivy League universities have at the university level, but also that many Asian American families feel that would be discriminatory against them. But my understanding is that the single test system only applies to those three schools, Stuy and Bronx Science and Brooklyn Tech, as a state mandate. Does that mean the mayor could snap his fingers and bring about the change he's calling for at the other four?
Many people believe that's the case. The mayor at first was saying his lawyer said no, it really applied to the all 8 schools. More recently, he said, well, we know it really applies to the 3 schools, but we think, A, those big 3 names are the vast majority of the specialized high school seats. The other ones are much smaller. So we should just get this all done at once.
And you also tweeted this morning that some top feeder schools to the specialized high schools are seeing drops in admissions for next year. By feeder schools, do you mean middle schools that place a lot of kids there?
Right. There's just a handful of middle schools that are gifted middle schools and very selective middle schools that send a huge proportion of the kids to the specialized high schools. But because hundreds more seats were set aside for this discovery program for kids who just missed the test cutoff, the feeder schools have seen a loss of offers, which of course is upsetting the parents in those schools.
And finally, to come back to Jericho and Westbury and what the state legislature is grappling with right now, whether to spend a lot more money over the objection of the governor to ease some of those disparities. The Campaign for Fiscal Equity lawsuit from 2007 that mandated that this be done, but it's not being done. Couldn't the court hold the state in contempt of court?
That's a good question. I mean, some of that litigation is still continuing in these sort of sub-suits, like the NYSER suit, New York for Students for Equity, or I'm not sure the noun. I mean, I imagine
that somebody and somebody else may be on that beat, looking at the legal aspects of this. I also wonder about racial discrimination as a legal basis for evening out these disparities. There must be something in the civil rights laws that say you can't spend money as a government so disparately on white students and non-white students, because we may say property taxes and these other kind of neutral sounding things, but it so breaks down by race.
Well, the New York Constitution, as I understand it, requires that a student be provided with a sound basic education.
And that's all it requires?
That's the gist of it, is my understanding.
So they could argue that Jericho at $34,000 per student may exceed the minimum sound basic education, but that Westbury at $24,000 per student and Utica, which you cited as at $16,000 per student, are each enough to meet those minimum requirements of a sound basic education, and that's all the law requires.
Well, Westbury did file a complaint with the U.S. Department of Education Office of Civil Rights last fall, saying that the funding policies discriminated on the basis of race. It's unclear what's going to happen with that suit.
So that's active.
That is active. The Trump administration, as far as we've seen so far, is not terrifically impressed by suits that have to do with disparate impact. So it's unclear where this will go.
And we thank Leslie Brody, Wall Street Journal, Greater New York Education Reporter. Thank you so much.
Thank you so much.